Give them another hand as they... Come on, we can do better than that. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm coming, Lord. Don't call the road till I get there. Come in, Lord. By myself. Don't call the road till I get there. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. Don't you dare call the road till I get there. I'm coming, coming, coming. By my. Don't you. Till I get. I'm coming along. All by myself. Don't you dare call the road till I get there.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, the Lord's been better than that. Come on, he's been better than that. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's been so good to me that I don't mind praising him right now. I wish I had somebody that don't mind. Hallelujah. If heat was the only problem, I'd be all right. I wish I had a real church here. I'm going to ask that every head would be bowed. Father in heaven, we thank you. And we glorify your holy and righteous name. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity you've given us to come into this, your house of worship. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this place. Lord, move by the power of your spirit. Somebody's come through hell and high water, and they need to hear from heaven tonight. Speak, Holy Ghost. Speak, heavenly dove. Lord, give me a word that might soothe someone's situation, that might calm someone's calamities, that might fix somebody's fears, and might cause them to know you're still on the throne and you're still in charge of their lives. Thank you in advance for what you're getting ready to do. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for you moving already. Thank you, Spirit of God, for touching my situation and turning it around. This is our prayer and our plea tonight, for it's in the marvelous and the matchless and majestic name of our Master, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. And all who love the Lord shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Shout amen. Come on, give him another praise. Oh, come on, God's been better to you than that. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. We thank God today for this opportunity again to come to the Greater Brookfield Church. It's just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. I thank God for your pastor, the under-shepherd. Amen. The visionaire, the bishop, the pope. Come on, help me celebrate Pastor Leroy Mitchell. Amen. God bless my friend, my brother. Amen. Thank God for him and his invitation to come and share. Amen. Thank God, amen, not only for Pastor Mitchell, my friend, but we certainly honor God for Lady Mitchell. Amen. Come on, let's give it up. Amen. Thank God for them. They've been friends down through the years. Amen. And we honor God for all the pastors that are present. Amen. And all of the preachers of the gospel that share this space with us on tonight. to all of the deacons, officers, members, friends, saints, enemies, the rats, roaches, lottie dottie, and everybody. Amen. Good evening and welcome, amen, to this first night of revival. Amen. Amen. It's all right to be inconvenienced sometime. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. We get inconvenienced, amen, when we want it. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many people would have came if you'd have known this before you left home. Huh? Ah, boy. Yeah. Yeah. If you'd have known it before you left home. Amen. Wonder how many of you would have come. Amen. But if you'd have known you'd hit the lottery before you left home, you didn't care if there was air conditioning or nothing. Amen. You'd have been there. I wish I had a real church. Amen. I'm not going to worry your patience long tonight. There is a word. Come on, give it up for this music ministry, Mount Zion. Amen. Amen. Their pastor that is here. Amen. Celebrate God for them tonight. They sang regardless of the conditions. Amen. And so we are thankful to you for blessing us on tonight. The ushers that are sharing, we thank you for your service tonight. There is a word in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture. And I'm just going to bore you for a few moments. And then I'm going to let you go home and get you a snack. Amen. Amen. I know somebody wants to get home, got a piece of chicken on the stove, a pork chop you left. Amen. Something. Amen. Y'all act like y'all don't like no snacks after church. Somebody got snacks in their purse right now. Some nabs, a banana, an apple, a bottle of water. I know. I've been in church a long time. Amen. Snacks in the house. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And beginning at verse number 8, when you have it, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, you need to come to Sunday school and Bible study. 1 Kings 17, and beginning at verse number 8, you'll find these words. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk tonight for the few moments that are mine to share from the subject, God can fix that. Look at somebody next to you and say, neighbor, God can fix that. We are living in some difficult times. If you are alive tonight, you understand that every time you turn on the news, it's always filled with tragedy. Every time the phone rings, it's always something. Every time you turn around, it seems like problems and issues and the concerns of this world seem to go to an all-time high. As a matter of fact, life has become so difficult to live because as we try to go day to day living right, it becomes more difficult because of the struggles and the strains that we have in our life. And I'm convinced that struggles and strains come with a price. Problems come only to make you strong. But you got to understand that when you go through problems, when you go through difficulties, when you go through issues and concerns, you sometimes wonder if it's the will of God. Sometimes wonder, is this sent by the Lord or is this of my own doing? Because a lot of people don't understand that some of the situations and circumstances you face in your own journey are nobody's fault but yours. Oh, I wish I had a real church right there. Yeah, some of the stuff that you go through, it is so that God can get the glory. But how many know that some of the stuff you go through, you brought it on yourself? You know, we blame the devil for a whole lot of stuff. We talk about the devil made me do it. The devil, yeah, the devil might have been the one that introduced you to it, but you the one that stayed at the party all night. Yeah, y'all ain't gonna help me tonight. So it is, as we look at this life, as we look at our struggles, our strains, our difficult moments, we have to understand that all issues that are brought by the devil have to pass across God's desk. Come here, Job, as Job lets us know that God orchestrates every moment and everything that happens in our life. There is no such thing, I don't believe, in happenstance. I just believe in the divine providence of the Lord. And the problem is, a lot of us have faced faith challenges that we have failed in our life. I believe that God sends challenges unto us so that we can see if we are able to pass the test and move on to another level in Him. But how many know another level, another devil? That's what bothers us, that when God promotes us through one level, the devil gets on our case so bad, we don't think we're going to be able to pass through that next level. And let me remind you that if the devil has not been messing with you, that means that you're on his team. I wish I had a real church right there. You got to understand that if the devil has not been probing and prodding against the work of the Lord in your life, if you don't wake up with the devil talking to you and trying to convince you to go the other way, then that means he ain't got time for you. Amen. But I wish I had a witness here that will say, every day I wake up, the devil's right there. Yeah. Every time I move, the devil is there. Matter of fact, Paul says, when I would do good, y'all, do I have any witnesses here? Evil is always present. And so my faith challenges are more difficult every day in order to face. Just like here in this text, we find the prophet Elijah, the Tishbite from Gilead. This is really one of the first mentions of the prophet Elijah. And Elijah, in his first mention, God gives him a faith challenge or a test in order to see if he will be able to trust him to do ministry on another level. See, a lot of people are wondering why nobody won't pick you, won't choose you to do the job in the church, and it's because you have failed the test on the level that you're on. And how in the world is somebody going to promote you if they can't trust you on the other level? So it is. Here he calls Elijah. He tells him, I need you to go in and have a meeting with the king. Go tell King Ahab. I need you to go tell him that it ain't gonna rain until I say it's gonna rain. Matter of fact, it's gonna be a drought. It's gonna be famine in the land. And it's interesting how he can take somebody out of obscurity and tell him to go to the leader and tell him, thus saith the Lord. See, the problem with church folk is church folk get so timid when it's who they got to talk to about God's business. Oh, you know what? We can get so holy and sanctified when we're around other folk that act holy and sanctified. But what if the Lord tells you to go to your job and tell your boss, thus saith the Lord? God said, if you don't get right, Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me in here. So it is here, Ahab, as he has got this word of the Lord from Elijah. Elijah passes the first faith challenge, as I hurry here tonight. And then God meets him with another faith challenge. He says, okay, now you passed that test. I need you now to go over to this brook at Cherub. He says, I need you to go there because there is a famine in the land. You're gonna take your water by the brook and there's going to be some ravens I prepared that are going to feed you twice a day with flesh and with bread. That's what the text says. He says, I need you to go over there, and you're going to take your water from the brook. Y'all hear me? And he says, I got some ravens that are going to feed you twice a day with flesh or with meat and with bread. Now, I don't know about you, but Pastor Mitchell, I'm this kind of scientific kind of mind. It has to make sense for me in order to figure it out. One plus one has to equal two for me in order to figure it out. And I'm telling you, some of you are just like that too. That's why you can't accept miracles in your life, because you can't figure out how God did it. I wish I had a witness here that would touch your neighbor and say, God can fix that. It doesn't matter what it is. He is able to handle it. And you've got to get past the point of figuring out God and just accept what God allows. Here, as I looked at this, I said, well, let me try and scientifically in my mind figure out how God is going to perform this miracle. I said, okay, I have to figure out, first of all, what a raven really is. I had to study and I had to figure out what a raven really is. A raven ain't nothing but a black buzzard. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. And a black buzzard is a selfish bird. It is a bird that does not share what it has, and it preys on dead stuff. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me in here. See, we got buzzards in the church. We got folk that only sit around dead folk and they try to prey on them when the devil messes with them so that they can feed themselves and make themselves look better. That's why you need to watch who you're sitting next to. You need to watch who's on your row. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, I hope you ain't no buzzard waiting on something dead. Yeah, here, he said, a black buzzard is a selfish bird. It preys on dead stuff. So in my mind, I said, let me figure out how God's going to do this. I said, maybe this buzzard is going to go. He's going to find something dead. He's going to eat all that he wants, and he's going to put something in his beak. He's going to fly over where Elijah is, and maybe some of the excess is going to fall out his mouth. Elijah is going to get it, and that's how Elijah's going to be filled. That's how I had to scientifically make it work in my own mind. I said, okay, this selfish black buzzard, maybe he's going to find some carcass. He's going to eat all he can eat because he's selfish. He ain't going to share. And he's going to take some, and he's going to, on the way back to the crib or to the nest, he's going to have some of the excess in his beak. It's going to fall out, and Elijah going to have some meat to eat, and that's going to happen twice a day. Don't that make sense? That could be the way it happened. So I said, I'm going to settle on that. That's what happened, Lady Mitchell. That buzzard, he ate all he could eat. He took some excess. He's going back to the crib, and there's some, while he was flying over where Elijah was, the excess fell out of his mouth. Elijah got the meat, and he ate it twice a day. That's how it happened. But then I said to myself, where in the world did he get the bread from? Was it a buzzard bakery out there in the wilderness? Was Walmart open 24 hours? Did they have a Wendy's drive-through that was open? How many know God can do anything but faith? You ought to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, if I'm a buzzard, you better watch how you handle me. Because I might be the buzzard that got to sustain you and help you when you go through. So it is. Here, God sustained him with meat and with flesh and bread twice a day. And so he took his water from the brook. I can imagine that Elijah, as being out there, he had to take his water from the brook probably in his hands. I'm just trying to make sense of the way it looked. And so it is, as he stayed out there until the text says the brook dried up.
And I'm telling you, a whole lot of you are sitting here looking at me, and you got that holy and sanctified look on your face, but God has literally let some stuff dry up in your life. Do I have anybody here that will be a witness that there have been some things in your life you thought was going to last forever? There were some relationships, some friendship, some jobs, some careers. You thought God was just going to bless you until you retired and did what you wanted to do. But God dried it up. Y'all ain't going to help me here. What do you do when God dries up the brook? I wish I had a witness here that would touch your neighbor and say, what did you do when God took away your hope and your dream? What did you do? How many know that you got to put your trust in the Lord, because serving the Lord is going to pay off after a while? I wish I had a real church that would lift up your hand and say, I'm going to serve him until he fails me. So it is. Elijah, he takes his water from the brook. He eats the flesh and the bread until the brook dries up. The text says that Elijah now has to move on. He's passed his second faith challenge. And so God tells him, I have another faith challenge for you. I need you to now, here we're in the text, need you to go over to Zarephath. When you go over there, there is a woman there. There's a widow woman there. Her husband is gone. Her provider is gone. And so you need to go over there. And I have prepared her. She's going to be the one that's going to sustain you until I send rain back on the earth. He says, I need you to go over there. There's a widow woman there. And I'm telling you, I have prepared her to help you while you're on your journey. Isn't it interesting how God will send you from bad to worse? See, it's one thing when you got to depend on yourself, but it's another when you got to depend on somebody else. I wish I had a witness here. You know, I'd rather depend on me than have to depend on you. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. I wish I had somebody. Somebody in here ever had your heart broken? Anybody ever depended on somebody and they ain't do nothing but let you down? I'd rather work by my own hands than have to depend on what you going to do for me. I wish I had a real church here that would touch your neighbor and said, neighbor, I ain't studying you, because I know when it comes down to it, if it's between me and you, you're going to choose you over me. So it is. Here, Elijah, when he gets here to the gate of the city, I'm hurrying so that we can get out of here. He gets here to the gate of the city. Sure enough, just as God told him, he sees this widow woman. He sees this woman. She's gathering of sticks. She's trying to get the sticks together so she can go in the house so she can prepare her and her son's final meal. Elijah gets there to the gate of the city. And I'm telling you, sometimes it seems like Christian or church folk and sometimes get the big head. Let me let that marinate for a minute. Seems like church folk sometime get the big head. Elijah comes to the gate of the city. He sees the woman, and he sits there, and he says, hey, woman! That's what the text says. He called out to her, and he says, go in the house and fetch me something to drink. Bring it to me in a glass. I used to be slow too, I know. He said, woman, go in the house. Bring me something to drink in a goblet. Long as it ain't a Dallas Cowboy goblet. I ain't scared. Go in the house and bring me something to drink in my favorite cup. I know y'all saying, what in the world is he talking about? Elijah was just by this brook that had dried up. And he was probably taking his water from the brook in his hands. But now God then told him, I got this woman that's going to take care of you. And he gets there and says, woman, go in the house and get me a glass of liquor in my cup. Go in there and get me a glass of Moscato. Go in there and get me my beer. Go in there and get me some corn liquor. I'm going to get to your pew in a minute. Go in there and get my favorite drink and bring it to me. You got to understand that if you're thirsty, I don't care what you're going to bring it in. Just show me where the water is so I can get a drink. That's the problem with church folk. Church folk get the big head when they think somebody else is going to be the source of their blessing. They start ordering stuff off the menu that they ain't got no business having. So it is. He tells this woman, go in there and get me some water in a vessel. Then as she's on her way, he says, and bring me a morsel of bread. Bring me a sandwich. Bring me a slice of pizza. Bring me a steak and potato. Go in there and make me some pork chops. Bring me something to eat. Finally, she turned around and she said to him, she said, I tell you the truth, man of God, the water I can do, but I ain't got no food to give you. As a matter of fact, I'm just gathering sticks so that I can go in there and prepare me and my son's last meal. I'm down to the bottom. I'm borrowed all I can borrow. Nobody's going to help me out anymore. I'm down to the end of my rope. And I don't know where to turn because everywhere I turn, it seems like a dead end. Have you ever been there? Anybody ever been in a place where nobody would help you out? You ever been so down to your last dime that you didn't understand how you were going to make it? I'm wondering, is there anybody here tonight that knows how this woman must have felt? We had gotten to your wit's end where you were ready to let go and just die in your situation. Well, I come to let you know that when you get to the end of your rope, don't tie a knot and hang on. But how many know all you got to do is let go and let God? There is a place that God wants each and every one of us to be so that we can put our trust in Him and stop trusting in us and other folk. How many know God? He's able. I wish I had a real church right there. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God. He's able to do anything but fail. Do I have any witnesses here? Somebody ought to lift up your hand and say, I tried him when I was down to the bottom. I called on the name of the Lord. Didn't he come to your rescue? You ought to look at somebody and say, God, he can fix your problem, whatever it is. The Lord is able to work it out. Do I have any witnesses here? Have you ever tried him? Somebody ought to say, I tried him. And I found him to be my friend. Won't he fix it for you? Won't he do it for you? Somebody shout, yeah. Y'all not going to help me. Shout, yeah. Shout, yeah. He's able. Y'all not going to help me tonight. Well, there's three reasons why I can say that God can handle it if you do this. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, first thing you got to do is you got to receive the revelation. When God gives you a word, you got to receive what thus said the Lord. Stop waiting on another word. Stop waiting on somebody else to knock on your door 3 o'clock in the morning with a basket full of something that will blow your mind. When the man and woman of God are telling you how to get out of what you're in, you got to receive what God is saying to the church. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you know the way. The way is in the word. If you get in the word of God, won't he work it out? Somebody shout, yeah. This woman received the revelation. But not only did she receive the revelation, she also released her resources. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, little becomes much if you put it in the right hands. Do I have a witness here? You got to take what you got and turn it over to the Lord. Won't he multiply it? Won't he do it for you? Anybody here? No, in order to get, you got to be willing to give. Shout a yeah. Shout a yeah. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, The way you can get it, you got to release it. Let it go. Let what go? I'm glad y'all asked. You got to let go your praise. Stop sitting there looking like God owe you something. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would have been dead, sleeping in your grave. But God woke you up early this morning, started you on your way, gave you a reasonable portion of health and strength. Has he been good? Has he been kind? Shout yeah, shout yeah, shout yeah, shout yeah. You got to release it. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I dare you to give him a praise. I dare you to open up your mouth. I dare you to lift up your hands. I dare you to give him a leap. I dare you, because I heard when the praises go up, blessings come down. Shout yeah, shout yeah, shout yeah. Somebody ought to let it go. Somebody ought to release your praise. Somebody ought to release your praise. Somebody ought to let it go. Shout yeah. God can fix it. I don't care what it is. God can handle it. Lift your hands and worship him. Come on, lift your hands and tell him thank you. I got more, but that's enough. Lift your hands and tell him thank you. Just look back over the time when you almost gave up and God worked a miracle in your life. Look back over your life and see that time when your back was against the wall and see how God fixed it for you. Just lift your hands and tell him, thank you, Lord. Lift your hands when you thought it was all over, but God came in and worked a miracle. Come on, lift your hands and tell him thank you today. Tell him that you love him tonight. Tell him that you bless his name. Come on, let him know that it's all about him and it's not about you. Come on. Come on now. Praise ought to lead us into worship. Somebody ought to worship him tonight. Not for what he's done, but for who he is. Even if he don't do it, he's able. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you. Come on. Come on. Tell him thank you. Come on. Tell him thank you. Come on. Tell him thank you. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. Today, all because you cared for me. Oh, why I praise you. And I lift you up. And I magnify your name. Oh, that's why my heart is filled with praise. Come on, sing it again. Sing it like you really love him tonight. Come on. I love. Oh, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love. Because cared for me. That's why. And I lift you up. And I magnify your name, yeah. Come on, one more time. I love you, Lord. If you love him tonight, come on, let him know. Oh, I love. Oh, oh, oh. Cared for me. That's why. And I lift you up. And I magnify. Oh, 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 oh. That's why my with prayer. Oh, 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 that's why.
That's why. Because you saved me. Because you love me. Oh, that's why. Because you picked me up. Turned my life around. That's why. When I was lost, you rescued me. Oh, that's why. When I almost lost my mind, you kept me in perfect peace. That's why. When I'm down to my last, you keep on blessing me. That's why. Yeah. That's why. Heart is filled with praise. Come on, worship him. Come on, worship him. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We love you, Lord. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Tonight, somebody needs to come. There's somebody here that's at the end of your rope. And even if you're not at the end, you're close. You've heard the word, God can fix it. He can handle it. He can work it out. Even if you think you're ready to die, your extremity and impossibility is God's opportunity. God can handle your problem. Let me tell you something. If your problem is not greater than the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus had been dead 4 days, if your problem ain't greater than that, he's already demonstrated that he's got enough power to handle it. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Even if you've been dead 3 days, I believe he can bring you up. I wish I had a real church. Tonight, whatever you're facing, whatever it is, you need to bring it to this altar. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you want to bring somebody else to the altar. Come on. I wouldn't miss this opportunity to join in together and touch and agree and call on the name of the Lord for our problems. Come on, how many know that prayer changes things? How many know there's power in prayer? If you don't believe in the power of prayer, then you sit there. But if you believe God is able to do anything but fail, you come on. Come on, come on. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, come go with me. God can handle it. God can fix it. God can work it out. He done it before. He can do it again. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God tonight. I believe God tonight. I believe God can do what he said he can do. I believe God can fix it. I believe God can handle it. I believe God can work it out. I'm wondering, is there anybody here that's ever been lost? God came where you were and rescued you. See, I have a different testimony than a lot of church folk. Amen, lights. I got a different testimony. See, a lot of you have been in church all your life. And you got saved in the church when you were a little child, and you've been here forever. I was in church a long time, but I left when I got grown. So God didn't rescue me from the church. He came to the club and got me. He came on the corner. I wish I had some witnesses. He came in the world and reminded me of the seed that he had put in me before the foundations of the world. And I said, Lord, I yield. See, a whole lot of you have misinterpreted what God is trying to say to you because you don't want to admit that it's him. Let me tell you something. The best analogy, Pastor, that I've heard about a calling is that a calling is like unto God having a conversation with you, with your spirit, before he put you into your mother's womb. He told you all the things you were going to do. Told you all of the ministry things he was going to use you to do.
And then when he got to the place where you were about to be put into your mother's womb, he said, you're not going to remember this conversation, but you will remember my voice. Oh, I wish I had a witness right there. Anybody here hearing something that just knits right with your spirit? That's the Lord talking to you. And he's never going to tell you anything contrary to his word. It's all going to line up. It's all going to be beneficial for you. It may hurt, and you may not want to do it, but how many know all things going to work together for the good of them that love the Lord? Tonight, what I want you to do is I want you to grab hold with someone's hand nearby. And what I want you to do is I want you to look at both sides and say, I'm praying for you tonight. Say, I want God to work it out for you. Now, the problem that we have in church is that a lot of times we come and we don't get our breakthrough because we're selfish. But tonight, I don't want you to concentrate on what you want God to do for you. Those neighbors' hands that you're holding, I want you to pray for them tonight. Pray that God works it out for them. Pray that God brings them out. Pray that God fixes it for them. How many know that when you pray for somebody else, God will work your situation out? Even before you know it, you won't even know he did it. And God will do it for you. Anybody ready for that? Anybody know God can handle it? Look at your neighbor and say, God can fix it. He can fix it. Right now, as you squeeze that hand, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Don't try to break it. Just let them know you're there. Father in heaven, here we are again, standing in the presence of your people, at the foot of your throne. You know what we're going through. Some of us are in Zarephath. Some of us are down to our bottom. Some of us have exhausted everything that we have, every resource. And so here we are calling on you. Lord, not for us tonight, but for these hands that I'm holding. For the people that are standing next to me, God, fix it for them. God, I don't know everything about them, but you do. I may know some of the symptoms, but I don't know the source. But God, I know you. And I know you know them better than anybody because you made them. You know them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, from the inside out and from the outside in. You know their ups and their downs. You know their idiosyncrasies. You know their good points. God, right now in the name of Jesus, as I squeeze their hand, fix it for them. Work it out, God. Work a miracle. God, let their blessing overflow into me. Let my blessing overflow into them. God, touch me even now in such a way that the anointing overflows to the neighbor's hands I'm holding. I know you can do it. You've done it before. You can do it again. There's nothing too hard for you. Work it out right now. Send the rain. Send the blessings. Send your anointing. Send your power. Lord, we know we don't have to pray long, because while we're praying, you're already answering. So right now, we're just going to let these hands go and we're going to lift them up and praise you in advance for what you're getting ready to do. Come on, praise the Lord for blessing your neighbor. Thank him for what he's already done. Thank him for fixing it. Thank him for working the miracle. Lord, thank you that when they get home, it ain't going to be the same. Thank you that when they get to the job, it's going to be a little different. Thank you for working on the supervisor, the husband, the wife, the child. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in advance because we know you can fix it. It's in the marvelous and majestic name of our master we pray. And we count it done. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. That name that causes demons to behave themselves. In Jesus' name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. In Jesus' name. It is so. And all the people of God shouted hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Shout amen. Hug at least three people and tell them God can fix that.